my honour now to call on Verity Firth, who is the Executive Director, Social Justice at UTS, to thank you on behalf of all of us for your attendance tonight, but more than that, to your application to public service over a long career in Australia.
Yes. Thank you very much, and I think I speak for everyone here to say that that was a wonderful conversation and one that's definitely delivered me with a sense of optimism at the end of the day. I did want to say a few remarks, and I'm saying some optimistic remarks because I think after a day like today, we all need a bit of optimism in our life when it comes to climate change. Bob and Ross talked about the opening of Ross's book, where he describes a journey with his wife through the Murray-Darling Basin in August 2019. He describes the landscape ravaged by drought, and in the opening chapter, he meditates on the fact that all that he was seeing and experiencing was actually predicted to occur and did in fact occur. But what I wanted to say tonight is I think that opening with a story that describes an evocative and personal experience of climate change is a really important way to start this book. And it's important because of a range of reasons about the politics of climate change. Bruno Latour in Down to Earth talks about the need to bring the politics and science of climate change back from what he terms nature as universe to nature as process. His argument is that we all intimately understand and have a sense of connection to the land. Sometimes it presents itself as a nostalgia for our childhood, bushwalks with mum and dad, digging in the dirt, playing in a creek. We all talk about the weather. We can all see the impacts of climate change happening all around us, whether or not we recognise them as such. Latour talks about a loss of trust in science being driven by the sense that people feel that they can't contribute meaningfully to a conversation that requires the intermediary of instruments, models, and calculations. However, everyone can contribute to a conversation about the weather and the climate. And it is this deep human understanding and intimacy to our earth, which is what Latour talks about when he talks about nature as process. It's this understanding that can help drive a collective responsibility to do something about the impact of climate change. And it's this understanding that Catherine Murphy alluded to in her very fiery opinion piece in last weekend's Guardian. I don't know if anybody else saw that, but I just loved it, where she lambasted, like absolutely ripped into our nation's conservative politicians for refusing to talk about climate change during the bushfire emergency. You know, although we speak about the root causes of terrorist attacks both during and after, although we speak about the root causes of planes falling out of the sky both during and after these accidents, we're not allowed to speak about climate change as bushfire rages. And the reason, according to Catherine Murphy, is that the government, quote, does not want its record raked over at a time when Australians are feeling deeply anxious, because it's hard to control the narrative in those conditions. The government does not want people who are particularly who are not particularly engaged in politics switching onto this issue at a time where they have a personal stake in the conversation. In other words, governments want to keep discussion around the science of climate change in the hands of the elites so that they can continue to attack this science as elitist. They do not want the science of climate change made real by the lived experience of ordinary people, because it's that that could be dangerous. And climate change is terrifying, and this terror is partly what drives human beings in action in many ways. But I do firmly believe that this change is now going to happen. And one of the things that gave me probably the best hope I've had in years on this issue was going and joining the student climate strikes at the Balmain earlier this year, at the Domain. And it gave me such hope, partly because it was just full of young people. It gave me such hope because the Domain was packed in a way that I had not seen, probably since the early 80s and the big anti-nuclear movement, so this real, genuine emergence. And I at last started to see the tipping point, if you want to talk about, in terms of political action. And increasingly, I genuinely believe the personal and lived experience of climate change impact will drive political energy and will drive rage over this issue. So it may take a while for the governments to respond, but I actually think now that people are going to take things into their own hands. And what I really loved about listening to Bob and Ross tonight was that there are so many ways we can take this into our own hands. There are so many things happening already in industry, in policy making, that can help drive this change, no matter what, even if the government are dragging its footsteps. So, thank you to Stuart White. Thank you to ISF for hosting us tonight. I think it was a really engaging experience. ISF is sort of one of the great things about UTS, actually, having this institute that's dedicated to sustainable futures and engaging with the outside world. Thank you to Professor Bob Carr. We're so lucky at UTS to have someone with your experience and government experience, which enables that precious connection between university research and real-world outcomes. And thank you to Ross Garno. Feel that applause. That was a nice long. I was a very, very young and inexperienced junior Assistant Minister for Climate Change and Environment in the Labor government in New South Wales in 2008, when your climate policy review came out. And I still remember, I read it from beginning to end, and I was absolutely mesmerised and blown away by the simplicity, really, of your arguments. And it absolutely impacted my politics in that portfolio, and it has impacted me ever since. So it's really great having you here today.
Thank you. Thank you.